Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the weekly podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. We are back in Tajikistan with another major security incident, this time in one of the Tajik prisons this week, which led to the killing of 27 people. This is a huge number compared to security incidents like this in Central Asia. Also, this is the second security incident in Tajikistan within a few weeks that is claimed by ISIS. Now, the question is, what is really happening in Tajikistan? How to read this incident in the light of increasing tension elsewhere in the country? Why now and why in this facility? To discuss all these, I am joined by Tohir Safarov, journalist with the Tajik Service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty in Prague, Irna Hoffman, rural sociologist from Leiden University in Netherlands, Dr. Helene Thibault, a political science lecturer at the Nazarbayev University in Kazakhstan, Dr. Edward Lemon, fellow at the Daniel Morgan Graduate School in Washington, D.C. So the good thing is all of my guests have spent some time in Tajikistan as a researcher, so very glad to have all of you colleagues welcome on board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Tahir, let's start with you. What is latest from your shop?
We are getting the very few details about this incident, and no one from officials are talking about this incident, and we try to talk about this riot in Khujand prison with Deputy Minister of Justice, who also is in charge of these facilities, and he told us today that he don't know anything about this, and just please ask the Khujand or Sok prosecutor, they are in charge of the investigation. So we just know that they are trying to hide every details from society and journalists. And we heard from relatives of some prisoners who have been killed in the riot that they are asking them to come to take their bodies. But our colleague was in a hospital in Khujand, and he couldn't get inside. And they said that they're trying to give the bodies during the night that no one can see, or to prevent the news spread in the country or in media. So we have information that 22 people killed, 22 of them are prisoners, two of them the guards, and five or six security personnel in Khujand hospital who have been injured during the riot. And some relatives say that the wound is very serious, but they are okay.
So the numbers is confusing. I believe I read this, I believe, somewhere else. 27
different numbers.
Different numbers. Perhaps it is because this confusion that Tajik authorities are not coming forward with news. And Tahir, just a quick follow-up on that. So if Tajik authorities are not open, then what are our sources in terms of these numbers?
We have numbers 24.
But, so where are you getting these numbers if Tajik authorities are not speaking to journalists?
So we talked to some regional people, regional officials who know about the incident, and they told us that 22 prisoners have been killed and two guards also. But some people said that the Arab could be more because they saw some list of people who have been killed during the riot, and that list was big. So they said this to us, but we don't know how many people were killed.
Either 27 or 24, it's certainly
it's a big number.
It's a big number. So, Tahir, also, do we know anything more? How did this start in the first place, and how did this end?
We have different information about this, and some officials said, like, prisoners wanted to escape from the prison, but we had a also, we heard from some source that the guards were treating one of the inmates very badly, and that's why other prisoners were angry and started to attack the guards. And one of them said that they left one of the prisoners outside in the cold weather under the rain. That's why other inmates were angry and started the riot. But we did not have official confirmation.
So things are calm now in the facility or in the city?
Yes, the city is calm, and our colleague was there, and they said that there's still he see presence of police in the streets, and but the situation is calm. And I did not tell you about how this the riot ended, and I have heard that they called Oman. And they started to shoot the prisoners. That's why that it's quickly, in a matter of 2 hours, it was finished.
Wow, that's very scary development. Edward, do you want to jump in here? So today's reports are that at least 6 guards were hospitalized with gunshot. So it looks like that there was a real fight. Guns are used in both ends. So what's your information?
No, I agree with sort of what Tahir was saying, insofar as the government's not been very forthcoming with the information. And obviously, all we can do at this point is sort of theorize as to precisely what happened in that very short space of time. Yes, obviously, if the information is correct that some of the guards were shot, then obviously that would indicate at least some of the prisoners managed to obtain weapons from the prison guards. Obviously, the casualty numbers are very, there's a great disparity in the numbers between 2 prison guards dead and maybe 5 injured. And obviously, the numbers between 20 or more killed in terms of the prisoners. And I've heard figures of maybe a further 20 or 30 injured in hospital. So clearly, maybe some of the prisoners had guns, but it would seem that it was obviously it was a relatively one-sided fight.
Mm-hmm. And if may I jump in, we talked to a father of one of the prisoner guard who is in hospital, and he said that he talked to his son. Mm-hmm. He was like talking, but he has very bad injuries, broken teeth, very deep wounds. But he did not talk about the guns. He said that he has a very deep wound, and others' situation was worse than his son, but he did not mention any gun.
Okay, so Helen, now the biggest development is also that the ISIS is claiming the responsibility. How significant is this claim?
Well, it's significant if it is actually the case. If ISIS is actually behind this prison riot, it would be very significant for Tajikistan, because it would be the second case. Yeah, in very few months. So this the case of the attack against a cyclist this summer. The trial has actually just started a couple of weeks ago. Mm. So this might be connected to this actually, because the trial of actually 17 people are currently on trial now in Tajikistan in connection to this attack from this summer. So in 17 people, actually already 4 people were killed, if I recall correctly, in the fight. And one survivor, I think, is on trial with the other 16 other people. So that's a lot of people for an attack that looked a bit improvised. But maybe there's a connection to this. But indeed, if it's the case, I'm not sure the source. Well, there was a source from an organization called AMAC.
Yeah.
I'm personally not familiar with this. I don't know to what extent it is reliable. As we know, terrorist groups or extremist groups have a tendency to claim attacks just for prestige. So I think so far it's a bit early to say that ISIS is currently behind. I mean, we can discuss many things to say about what could have triggered this, but for the case of ISIS, I'll stop here.
Yeah, you know, one thing is that obviously the AMAC that you mentioned, whenever the ISIS does something in the matter of hours and days, position of ISIS becomes clear through the information put forward on AMAC. That's one thing that this incident was claimed on that website. So on the other thing is that unlike the previous times when the authorities immediately blamed the Islamic Party behind any security incident or behind anything in Tajikistan that takes place, this time they are treating it a little bit differently, at least this is what I think, and seriously perhaps carefully, at least this is my feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was also actually surprised, because they usually blame the Islamic Revival Party. And actually, in the first reports, the authorities also blamed the ISIS to be behind those attacks. So indeed, this is quite an interesting development. I think the authorities would be probably reluctant actually to admit that they are ISIS cells within its prisons, which is something of great concern, of course. So it will be interesting to dig into this deeper as information comes in to see if ISIS is truly behind those attacks. If it is, it is indeed a great concern for the authorities and people in general, people of Tajikistan.
Tahir, you mentioned that these authorities' reluctance to talk about this openly. It looks like that they also admitted that there was an ISIS connection into this incident. At least this is what
I... We have heard from this one source that they said that this was like triggered by ISIS member, and we have heard, but they did not say the name or who is that person. But we also heard that the people who started the riot was accused on membership of a foreign terrorist group. But we have just this information, not more. But we know that this prison is full of people who was found guilty on charges related to terrorism, extremism, and other serious crimes. And I know that, and I've talked to a guy who, not recently, but maybe 2 years ago, left the prison. And he said that 3 years ago, when the similar incident happened and two prisoners escaped from that prison, one of them slashed guard and shouted Allah Akbar. So that's why both of them were killed, the two prisoners who escaped. And he said that after that, the security measures were very strict in that prison.
Wow. Erna, you are kind of quiet. Please don't be shy. Jump in whenever you want to say something. But just a quick thing is that the way all this thing has happened and the claims that ISIS might be behind this. So what's your thought in this? What's your reading in this?
Well, I think reference to extremism is easily being made, and I mean, in contemporary Tajikistan, it's an easy way to give an explanation of things that are happening. Something actually mentioned by Edward Lemon today is that there's malnourishment in prisons and that there's corruption, and that situation is really harsh. So if people may actually protest the circumstance under which they are actually being, in which they are actually situated in prison, then that may actually, I mean, they don't want to have this image. So, I mean, then it might be easier to refer to extremism in this case.
You mentioned Edward. Edward, you follow these things very closely. What's your reading? I mean, does it look like an ISIS act the way it happened?
Well, I mean, I agree with everything that people have said. I think it's too early to tell. I think it could well be opportunism on the part of Islamic State, you know, especially given the attack 2 months ago, 3 months ago, back in July on the cyclists, you know, so they could use this as sort of further evidence that they're making inroads in Central Asia. I think the government's lack of transparency and forthrightness in terms of the information makes it very difficult to tell. What we do know is obviously that the prison conditions, as Anna's just mentioned, are very harsh within the country, that sort of there are many health problems for prisoners, there's overcrowding, there's a lack of transparency and international. The International Committee for the Red Cross hasn't been allowed into Tajik prisons since 2004. So there's a lack of sort of oversight, and there's a lack of public information about prison conditions.
Just to kind of counter your argument in that, opportunism obviously is one thing, and ISIS really likes to take advantage of any attack that happens elsewhere. That's really one way to look into their claims with suspicion. And also, prison condition is bad. I agree with you completely. It's just not in Tajikistan, but throughout Central Asia. Well said. But what makes you to say that this might not be ISIS? Do you base your comment on something like a touchable, visible, seeable?
No, I think the entire discussion, because we don't have enough information, is one that's sort of theoretical. At this point, we have, as Tahir has mentioned, sort of various theories as to what happened. I think, to counter your point, there's what evidence do you have that it's ISIS beyond their claim? I guess at this point, we're all talking in theoretical terms, because there's a limited concrete evidence, at least of what caused the riot in the first place.
Yeah, obviously.
If I may add something about this, is, well, the question I think we should ask is, because knowing that the conditions in prisons are very bad and always have been, this could have happened every day. So what triggered that particular riot this week? And this is, I think, the question that we should ask. So is it ISIS related or not? So the grievances are probably very high, but they have been high for years. Yeah. If I can add, I think a point that is very interesting that was made by one of my informants was talking about the fact that apparently a lot of prisoners have been waiting for an amnesty that didn't come. So it's a tradition in Tajikistan, and not only in Tajikistan, but in other post-Soviet countries, to have amnesties. So a law is passed, and in the case of Tajikistan, in the past, thousands of prisoners have been released. And so this week on 6 November, I think, was Constitution Day, which was the last official holiday of the year in Tajikistan, and there was no amnesty. So there is the feeling that a lot of prisoners were waiting for that, and this did not happen. So this was, yeah, the day after Constitution Day, so these events happen. So this is one thing that we might consider. So that it's not, I think, the grievances. It's like in conflict studies, yeah? The grievances do not matter so much in some instances, yeah? It's the structure that matters the most, and that in that case could be that, structural factors, not necessarily grievances, which are always there.
Yeah.
And also, if I may add, and as I said, I talked to a guy who was in that prison for several years. He said that 3 years after that incident, 3 years ago, the security measures were so harsh that they even did not allow to bring the books inside that prison. I mean, religious books. So, and it could also trigger this, like, harsh measures and a very bad condition in that correctional facilities could trigger this very deadly riot.
Yeah, you know, other thing is, like, at this point, I believe we have no reason not to believe that the previous incident in which four foreign bikers were killed in Tajikistan, that was not connected to ISIS. So and that was not about any grievances in the prison facility or somewhere in the government office, but that was in the open field. Could this be just something bigger than just the grievances in the prison or somewhere else, Edward?
I mean, I think that's certainly possible. I mean, we need to know the sort of identity of the people who sort of started the riot. What is their background? What were they convicted of? Did they fight in Syria and Iraq? Did they have previous contact? If not, I think it would be difficult. I don't know the extent to which prisoners would have access to the outside world, but I would think it would be quite negligent. Perhaps Tahir could chip in here, but I think it would be difficult unless these people were arrested and had a prior plan. It would be difficult for ISIS to reach them in prison.
That's also what I wonder, because I know that story of one of my people with whom I stayed in Tajikistan. One of their family members was in prison and they didn't have any contact for years. So I wonder to what extent people really can have access to outside actors while in prison.
Yeah, let's see. We really, again, talking in theories mostly, but except the claims made by the ISIS and also claims by anonymous authorities, officials from Tajikistan that it was indeed an act of ISIS. Let's see. So the news is that over 2 dozen people were killed in this latest rebellion in the maximum security prison in an incident claimed by ISIS. So how to read this in the context of increasing tension elsewhere in Tajikistan? And why was this facility a target? And why now? We will continue the Majlis podcast discussing this and many other questions very shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis Ready for Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast, we are discussing security situation in Tajikistan in the light of recent prison break. Joining me in the discussion are Tohir Safarov, journalist with the Tajik Service of Ready for Europe, Radio Liberty, Irna Hoffman, researcher at the Leiden University in Netherlands, Dr. Helen Thibault, political science lecturer at the Nazarbayev University in Kazakhstan, and Dr. Edward Liman, fellow at the Daniel Morgan Graduate School in Washington, D.C. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, also here in Washington, D.C. And this week, we don't have Bruce Funnier, who's my usual panelist. He couldn't make it at this time around. So, and we are discussing the latest rebellion in Tajik prison. Now, the question that you raised, Helen, maybe I should start with you. Now, the timing. Does the timing tell you anything?
Yeah, indeed. I think, well, this is one hypothesis. Yeah, yeah. It's just a thought. But again, what we have to ask ourselves is why people endure this every day, those bad conditions, and what triggers them. So this waiting for amnesty is a hypothesis, but otherwise it's true. I don't want to undermine this idea that conditions are bad and that people can withstand it without can be resilient and endure it. But I think what is if this extremist hypothesis is correct, it would also not be a surprise in the sense that Tajikistan is prosecuting, has prosecuted thousands of people in the last 20 years for on charges of extremism. I have a few statistics here that I retrieved from something I wrote before. So it's a statistics from 2014. Tajikistan charged 348 people on charges of extremism and radicalism. And in comparison, if we compare to the United States, which is a very large country with a large population, they prosecute around 40 individuals every year for terrorism and related offenses. So there's an extremely disproportionate number of people being prosecuted in Tajikistan. And this is connected to the fact that the law is very broad as to what constitutes terrorism and extremism. So a lot of people who would not be prosecuted in a democracy are under an authoritarian regime. So indeed, you have a lot of innocent people who have been tortured and forced into confession, pressured, that end up in prison, who are innocent. And the sentences in Tajikistan are very heavy. It can go only this year, nine men from Khujan were prosecuted on charges of Salafism, which is outlawed in Tajikistan, whereas it is not, for instance, in Kazakhstan, not legally at least. It's not welcome in the official discourse, but it's not a criminal offense. So of course, there is a lot of discontent, and repression is very strong, and this can only create resentment, especially in prisons.
And also, what I had also in mind is that in terms of timing, like this is happening within just a few weeks after the another ISIS claimed attack. Does this tell you anything, Irna, maybe?
Well, I find this really difficult to respond to this question in terms of timing. What I think is that there is in general a sense of insecurity. I mean, I don't know if people experience it everywhere throughout the country, but also in relation to the recent protests in Badakhshan is that you can see that, I have the impression that the Tajik regime is facing difficulties in controlling or monitoring the situation. And that's what I find it very difficult to say anything in terms of timing otherwise.
Okay, let's see what Edward has to say about this. Edward, the attack on cyclists, that's one thing. And also, in addition to that, is we have seen tension rising in Khurok, for example, over the last couple of days. And things are going on in Pamir. Can we look into this as part of this bigger tension, or what else the timing tells you?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to say in terms of did the previous incidents cause or inspire the incident that we've seen now. But I think we can certainly look at the timing in terms of outcomes for the Tajik regime is quite concerning, right? They have an ongoing security situation in Khurok. We've seen certainly rare protests, mass meetings in Khurok this week. And we've seen the government for the past few months attempting to sort of wrest control from informal commanders who still maintain a sort of grip over the local economy. So we have that situation in Khurok, which is still very tense and could spark into conflict at any moment. We have the sort of first credibly ISIS-claimed attack within Central Asia back in July. And now we have this prison riot. So I think certainly for the regime, as Helene said, we have the sense that they're potentially losing control or at least struggling to maintain their grip on society.
Actually, I have one more question about the timing. I mean, there are lots of reasons for worsening security, or there could be lots of reasons for worsening security situation in Tajikistan or the incidents that we are reporting about. But we are talking about these incidents in the context of ISIS, talking about attacks on foreign tourists, rebellion in jail this time, and earlier Oman chief joining ISIS, and then attacks in Dushanbe. How significant this might be? I don't know whether, Tahir, you would like to answer this, or maybe, Helene, you would like to talk about this. We are talking about these incidents in the context of ISIS in Tajikistan.
Well, I think it's too early to say, I don't know. I think I'm just going to repeat what has been said before. This idea that it might be connected to ISIS, it's early to say. We cannot deny that there is some interest, we could say, among the population for ISIS. If whether or not this has reached an important level within within prisons in Tajikistan is unknown. And I think also I wanted to mention something about potential causes that are not necessarily ISIS related, but that indeed, because there are so many people convicted on extremist charges, is that maybe the balance of power within the prisons is a bit changing between people who are convicted and are, you could say, genuine, authentic radicals, who pose a threat to society, and ordinary criminals. So maybe there are tensions within the prisons that we don't know of, because this is an environment that is unknown, especially because, as Edward mentioned, observers are not even allowed in Tajik prisons. So there might be some power play within the prison that we don't know of. It exists in every prison, right? So there's always one group that controls or makes order.
So what do you think is that this incident in the prison might not have any connection to anything going on elsewhere in Tajikistan these days?
Yeah, it could even be non-political. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this is a mistake that observers do. Yeah, they consider all violence political, but it might be something connected to prison, this particular prison's dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Just heard prison, and if I may add, and we hear very scary stories from prisons inside Tajikistan, and we have heard that prisoners all, like most of the time, abused by guards with verbal insults, and sometimes they force them to lie on the floor and guards walk over their bodies. Sometimes they strip them and also beat them with baton, and also sometimes they just do not allow them to sleep and to sit the whole day in a chair. So maybe, as you said, just maybe this kind of harsh situation could trigger these kind of riots inside the prison.
Hmm. Tahir, just to follow up then with you, what's special about this prison? I mean, why this the same thing didn't happen, I don't know, somewhere else, but in this prison? What could be the reason behind that?
I think, I personally think that if there are a radicalized person inside the prison, so they cannot tolerate this kind of like treatment. Maybe, I don't know, so, but there are a lot of people who, if really they are terrorists, if they really they are like killers, so it could trigger in that prison that the riot, because so in other prisons do you have just people who are accused or have been found guilty on economic crimes and like stealing and other things, but when you deal with if they are killers or radicalized person, so the situation is very different.
Mm. Edward, your thoughts on this? I mean, prison situation, the grievances that we were talking about within those facilities in Central Asia, especially in Tajikistan, could be worse in all the country. But why this prison has witnessed this, not some prison in Khatlon and some other regions?
Yeah, I think it's, as Tahir just said, this is a maximum security facility.
But this is not the only maximum security, right?
No, but if we think back to the second sort of another security incident, a very serious security incident that emerged back in 2010 when 25 prisoners escaped from the maximum security prison in Dushanbe. You know, as Tahir says, these are prisoners who are wanted for very serious crimes, whether they're guilty or not. Certainly some of them are. And so I think it's unsurprising maybe that they will, at least some of them were willing to take such extreme measures, be that inspired by extremist beliefs or triggered by mistreatment.
I think we are almost over time. Just a couple of final questions. Maybe, Helene, these security incidents kind of becoming more of a routine, for the lack of better word, maybe perhaps more frequent these days in Tajikistan. Is that your feeling?
Yeah, we have seen quite a few instances of violence in the last few years, and I'm not sure they are increasing. I would say that they are regular. I would say this is more regular than increasing. Unfortunately, I have been following very closely since 2010. When I was in Khujan in 2010, there was a suicide attack. Against one prison facility in 2010. So already 8 years ago, so this was happening. This was also the year where there was a prison break in Dushanbe, like Edwin mentioned. So they are always pockets of instability in Tajikistan. So we could say that the government is not entirely in control, but at the same time, yeah, prison riots cannot be controlled, really. But yeah, indeed, I think discontent, it says something about discontent and the imbalance of power. And well, I think that's the idea here, especially with the case of Badakhshan, yes? It's a bigger political play there. Those incidents in the prisons might be connected more to grievances than anything else. So I'm not saying that Tajikistan is more unstable than before, but the case of Badakhshan is, I would say, is a separate issue.
Hmm. What's your thought on this, Edward? I mean, what do you attach to what we are seeing in Tajikistan these days, be it the prison break, be it the attacks on tourists, be it and the things going on in Gurnu-Badakhshan or some other places these days?
Yeah, I guess the similarity I can see, or at least the overarching link, is the sort of government's clumsy and sort of uncoordinated reaction to these. Obviously, we saw them attempting to link the attack on the cyclists to the Islamic Renaissance Party. We've seen them sort of blocking this week various websites and social networks that people link that to the protests in Badakhshan. And as Tahir said right at the beginning, we've seen them always trying to tightly control the narrative. And when you have the families, for example, of the 20 or so prisoners who've been killed, who are not don't get a full explanation of what's happened to cause the deaths of their children, I think you could potentially see a reaction against the sort of the government's narrative. So I think the government's trying to keep control very tightly, but that has the potential to unravel if people start challenging its sort of narrative, especially when they're personally affected by this.
Hmm. So, Erna, maybe just a last point. In the light of this, these more of a sort of security incidents or tension, so what are you looking at going forward? What kind of signs are you looking forward on how, in which direction things are headed in Tajikistan?
Oh, well, I think that's a really difficult question. I think, in general, the government will try to get more control over the situation. So in terms of society and blocking social networks and these kind of things. I agree with Elena that the situation in Badakhshan is different because the government has already since long difficulty to, well, it is not seen as a legitimate power in that region. So that's a different kind of relationship, of course, with the rest of the country. But I think overall, throughout the country, the government will try to monitor the situation more strictly.
Helene, just a final point then from you. So if there's any one thing that Rahman or his administration can do, what that could be in situation like this?
About this particular prison riot?
Prison riot or this situation that we are faced today, like the attack a couple of weeks ago and then the tension in Badakhshan and then this jail rebellion?
Mm-hmm. That's a difficult question. What they should do or they could do. Well, I mean, what they should do this is more a personal opinion, but from the rationale, from the perspective of the authorities, indeed, that is the problem with Tajikistan. Whenever something happens, the situation that is so opaque, it's so difficult to find out what happened because of the control of information. And this, as Edward mentioned, they're a bit clumsy in that sense because it doesn't serve their interest not to keep information from the public and from people, because of course people are interested in knowing what is going on, if their security is at risk, what they can expect from the government, from the state. So it doesn't serve their interest to keep information and keep people in the dark, and that's the problem. But one of the problem in Tajikistan is that the government is not really accountable to the population, and this has been the case for a very long time. So accountability would be something that Tajik people would deserve, and transparency. But as we have seen, the transparency has become a very important issue in the last few years. So governance and government is less and less transparent.
Mm-hmm. And may I add, so the timing was very bad for Tajik government because they are going to next week there will be the grandiose ceremony, opening ceremony in Rogun power plant. So I think that's why they don't want to talk about this incident to not put the stain on this ceremony. So, but after that, so I think there could be some consequences for security officials, because it's these kind of riots never happened in Tajikistan. And the first time when 25 prisoners escaped as maximum security prison, the security minister was sacked. His deputies were sacked. So I think after 10 days or after 19th of November, we can see some changes in security bodies. So maybe someone will be fired, someone will be replaced. So that I think, and also one of the reasons that we are seeing this kind of incidents, that security bodies are now feeling that they have open hand and the free hand, and they can do everything that they want. So there is a lot of pressure to society, very harsh treatment of people, detainees, and also prisoners. That's why, so we can see if this situation will continue, we can see this kind of incident more in future.
Okay, nicely summed up, Tohir Safarov. Thank you very much, our journalist with the Tajik Service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty in Prague. Thank you very much for your time and thoughts. And also big thanks goes to Erna Hoffman, researcher at the Leiden University in Netherlands, Dr. Helen Thibault, political science lecturer at the Nazarbayev University in Kazakhstan, Dr. Edward Lemon, fellow at the Daniel Morgan Graduate School in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your time today.
Thank you.
And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.